Oh, now I can't hear you. Oh, trippy. Now that I'm plugged into the microphone, I can't hear you at all. Touch your bottom? I can't. You're gesturing. Point at your bottom. Point. Rub your bottom. Rub a stranger's bottom. Eat a sausage while rubbing a bottom. Hold on. All right. Now I can't hear myself again. And there you are.
So if you go to your audio settings.
In GarageBand.
In GarageBand, and you want to check the output, you know, what's coming in, what's going on.
You crafty son of a bitch, you just solved the problem. You're a magician. Your new name should be the great Rabini.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the kings of con.
I'm going to start calling you the great Rabini.
Oh, that's good. I like it better than any other name you've ever given me.
Now, what?
Are you recording your audio?
Yeah, I'm recording my audio. Thanks to the great Rabini.
Yeah, I like great Rabini. It's better than...
Bibby Bobby Bobo?
Bibby Bobby Bobo, Boo Boo.
What about Biddly Bobo? Biddly Boo Boo. Boodly 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 Bye.
Better than that.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of nicknames as long as I've known you. I mean, you are a nickname fiend.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big nickname guy. Am I?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, for you. Yeah, for you.
For everybody. Behind your back.
The great Rabini.
The great Rabini. So anyway, I know what today is because you teased it at MMM.
Yeah.
Today is tour of FOHQ, which apparently, for people who aren't Patreon members, apparently there's a new name for FOHQ. It's no longer being called FOHQ. And for those who are just catching up, if this is your first episode of our podcast you've ever listened to, prepare to be confused. But Rob used to have a studio called Fartoon Studios. Because we used to fart around and write tunes. So it was called Fartoon Studios in his house. And that's now a baby's room. That's now belongs to Maggie Viv. So now that's the Maggie Viv suite is what Fartoon Studios used to be. And that's gone.
That's right.
And so Rob took some of that FU money that he keeps stashed in the mattress and built a whole like bachelor pad. What do you call that? Like man cave kind of thing out by his.
You call it a man cave. I call it a studio space,
right? But that's fine. You call it whatever you want, Sir Wokerson, Lord Wokerson. You're no longer the great Rabini, Lord Wokerson. Anyway,
so yes, short-lived. So short-lived.
Your meditation yurt, whatever you're calling it. It's You go just so people have a visual because a lot of people have done overhead schematics of your property based on us describing it over the years.
Sure, sure.
And they have a pretty good idea.
Well, you can only see the full moat from a helicopter.
That's going to say it. Yeah. So you come in the main gate, which you have to use a code, fancy code to get in. And it lets you in to this code, which even I don't know. Uh-huh. And you go up.
Close friends know.
Chris Harrison knows. And one day I'll get it out of him. And woe be to you the day I get Chris Harrison to spill the beans. Anyway, you go up the code. You go up this like ornate steps to a portico that goes then over the moat. You take a right, and you have to. This is where the yard gets a little narrow. You don't want to walk on the bocce ball court, so you have to sort of like squeeze between the bocce ball court and the main house.
And the stable.
Which is lovely. And this, there's no stable. You're being ridiculous. You say hi to whoever's on the rocking chairs on the front porch. Could be staff, could be family, whatever. And you keep going past to the pool area. And you kind of then elevate more because the yard kind of ascends up like, you know, like a royalty or a family tree. You know, it just kind of goes up. And he goes up. When I say family tree, I mean like when you marry greatness and greatness then, you know, sires children. It's like the Benedict, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, you ascend up this lawn, this gorgeous manicured lawn.
Well, the gardener has actually shaped each tree as my elders. Elder Benedict.
A very tall Matt Benedict tree.
Yeah. That's Robert Patrick Sr.
And you get out to the pool area, and there is a beautifully constructed new building, which you call it a he shed, man cave.
Well, the city calls it a shed, just so you know.
The city or the machete?
The city calls it a shed.
Could have sworn you said the machete.
Machete doesn't call it.
Machete won't look at it.
It's called a shed by city standards.
Right, so it's a shed. Uh-huh. I didn't actually know that was a architectural term that you would of classification. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's how I can build it without permits. You can build a shed that's less than 100 square feet and not need a permit.
Oh, so that's cool.
This is a shed that is exactly 100 square feet.
Is that right?
Yeah. It is.
Did you have to? So did you pull a permit for it?
No, that's what I'm saying. By rule, if you build a shed in your backyard that's less, can you hear me? He's not even listening.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Less than 100 square feet, and it's a good hat for you. I like to see you wear more hats like that. It's a lot.
More.
It's good. I want one. It's the rumor on the streets is you got a hat for me, which I don't fucking buy it.
I'm the one who started that rumor, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
So I started the rumor on my street.
I know. And I said, get off the street.
Go back to the building.
Your background, 100 square feet or less, and you don't need to pull a permit. So this is a 12x8 shed, 100 square feet. Lots of discussions about how that 100 square feet was made.
That's interesting. So you didn't, wow, that's a trip. So you didn't have to
pull a permit, no.
Pull a permit. Would you have anyway? I mean, it's kind of protected back there where the construction would not have been noticed.
You could have cheated, but if for some reason a neighbor has some from the city back there,
yeah.
Well, I'm not going to get busted for it. It's legal.
Right. Well, at this point, it wouldn't matter. It exists. No one's going to say tear it down, but.
Well, they could.
Yeah, they can't.
The city will just come in and fine you.
Yeah, they can't say destroy that. Right. I mean, if you had a illegal residence, like you had a family living there or something that was causing a different thing, but you building that, the city, let me tell you something, the city of LA comes and tells you to tear down their shed because they're spending manpower looking for rogue sheds. Then we'll know why the city's in the toilet to start with.
I mean, the city. Do you know the story about how there's a I have a tree. You know, there's a sidewalk in front of your house, and on the other side of the sidewalk is a piece of land, right? And then there's the street, and I never know who owns that. I always thought the city owned it, but maybe it's me. Anyway, I have a tree in front of that's in that land, and a vine is violently wrapped around it, killed the tree, for this vine, and it's just a mess. Right. So I went on the city website and I said, hey, there's a tree in front of this address that needs to be cut down. It's dead. It's a big old tree that's been killed by a vine. They're both dead. It's ugly. It's an eyesore. It needs to be. It's in front of this address. About a month later, I get a notice from the city. I'm being fined because a neighbor has reported that I've got a dead tree in front of my house.
Wait, I thought you reported it.
I reported it. I didn't say I think I might have said it's my tree, but I said in front of this property, there's a tree. It needs to be cut down. So I get a letter and a fine for having this dead tree in front of my house that I had reported. Because I thought they were going to be like, okay, we'll come cut it down. But instead, they fined me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I was like, no, it's my house. I live here. I'm the one who said that.
That is so great.
Yeah. I can't believe I've never told you that. Anyway, so shed, legal to build shed, but go ahead. You're saying you walk up the golden steps.
You know, now you're making it silly. They're not gold. And it's a well-manicured, the bocce, because they're not gold, because if it rained on the gold steps, that would be a sliding hazard.
Well, it floods bocce. It floods the bocce court, I'll tell you that much.
The bocce ball court is actually there. And so you got to kind of go narrowly through the bocce ball court.
It's actually not.
Up the manicured lawn to the pool area.
And there's no moat. There's no moat.
And there's, okay, sure. And then you go into this, so there's this area now that is now Well, it's, I don't know what the title is. We were calling it FOHQ.
Well, I mean, well, let's talk about that because, you know, I really, you said FOHQ and automatically.
And let's talk about the origin of that too. Like the FOHQ was, I was saying, well, when Ruth wants you to FO or you feel like you need to FO
right.
from the main house, right. this will be your headquarters for FOing. So that's
right.
why I said FOHQ.
Or even if Ruth decides to FO, you know, anybody could FO out here at FOHQ. And
oh,
maybe
man.
If it's maybe it's FOHQ. Maybe I spoke too soon. I had an idea this weekend. I want to run it by you.
Okay.
I liked FOHQ because it also had an F in it, so it was kind of left over from Fartoons.
Right.
I really loved Fartoons. Fartoons, I have a really special place in my heart for because you named
right.
it that. It was like I think it was right after I moved into this house. You immediately put your stink on it. And
I recall being in that room urinating, yes, in the corner.
Oh, speaking of, there's no bathroom out here. Again, no permit, no bathroom.
Right.
So I...
Hello, pool.
I haven't yet, but I
but
thought
you
about
will.
You because I thought if Richard, this was Richard, his bathroom would be just like right out here. There's like, it's a great corner, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have news for you, buddy. If you don't pee out there... I'll take care of that for you because
well,
I am definitely peeing in your yard.
I know you're just yearning to pee in my yard. But...
Giles Dunning is also going to pee in your yard.
Oh,
I want
God,
you to know that. And so is Mark Hickman. The next time you have the Silver Lake Dads over,
uh-huh.
you better just prepare that yard.
Yeah.
Have a sit down with your yard. Let them know what's coming.
Yeah, that hat looks good on you because it looks like your other buddy, Tam's husband.
Joe. I know. It's a very Joe.
It's a Joe
hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, okay, what do you think of? Because I really love Fartoons.
Okay.
And keeping it just sort of in the flavor of that just historic Fartoon Studios. Fartoon South.
Oh, it's so funny. I was going to say, you got out ahead of me. I was going to say, which direction is it from your house? You
right.
should call it that. Like, if it's Fartoons West.
Yeah, it's Fartoons
South. Is that
South? Yeah, because it's sort of northwest, sort of that way. And this is the closest direction to be south.
Yeah, Fartoon South works. That works as well.
Or FOHQ. I don't know. Maybe we let the fans decide.
It could be both. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it's both. Yeah, Fartoon South is what the sign's going to say, but we all know it's FOHQ.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I like Fartoon South. I can live with that.
Hey, birthday present idea for me. Fartoon South sign.
Dude, you know who you all have to whisper that to the wind, and if Ruth gets a hold of it, it'll be a personally hand-carved by an artisan wooden with brass inlay.
Yeah.
I mean, that woman treats you right.
Yeah.
You well, are you married a gift giver.
She hasn't given me a Memorial Day gift yet. So.
Yeah, but dude, I mean, I know she likes to get, and so you're going to go broke buying her gifts.
Oh, man.
But
I got a double whammy coming up. I got Easter and then her birthday. Her birthday, which is the... strikes fear in my soul.
Oh, I couldn't imagine dealing like what you have to do to keep Ruth happy with
to be worthy. I mean, it's
expects, for people who don't know, Ruth kind of expects a gift on made up holidays.
Yeah.
Like if Rob goes, "Oh, it's garbage day." "Oh, you don't say." Well, no, it's just the day of the garbage every week. It's a weekly thing, is it?
And we got this stereotype because it's true. But at she likes you after Christmas, we go away for this vacation and next door there's this clothing store. We always go in and she buys me a Valentine's Day gift. It's like the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
Anyway,
when was that?
Remember that's how it started. It's like
the suitcase.
No, this was like, so we, after Christmas, we go to, we go on a little staycation, a couple nights in a hotel, and right next door, there's an AV store.
Oh, yeah.
Aviator Nation. And the last 2 years, we bought each other Valentine's Day gifts.
Yeah, that is one of the things, but the other thing was when we were all in the airport in New Zealand or somewhere.
Right, right.
And she rolled in with a Tumi. Like
right.
really nice suitcase,
right?
And she goes, "I got this for Rob." I'm like,
"It was for my birthday."
Man, you're really wooing him hard, man. And
yeah.
she's like, "No, it's for his birthday." I'm like, "Okay, let me just go over to my Gregorian calendar and look at this because
it was
last
like
time
March.
I checked, we're nowhere near September because that's also my birthday month." It's like,
right.
"No, in advance of his birthday, I got him this suitcase. He needs it. I'm like, I don't know how much he needs it considering we're currently traveling and he's got his clothes in a suitcase. But sure, I'll go with he needs
it. Yeah, I hold up my suitcase and it's like wrapped with duct tape. Yeah.
Anyway, this it is I love it. You guys are gift giving mofos. Mm-hmm. You're gift giving mofo because you have to be, and she is by nature.
Yeah.
And
no,
so
it's I give out of fear.
Yeah, dude. I mean, but it's just funny because, and JC and I are exactly the same way. We are not gift people.
Right.
We yeah. If I see something I think JC will like, I'll buy it right then, just like many couples do. Like, I don't wait for a birthday. I go like, oh, this sweater's awesome. I'm going to get this for JC. Right. And I'll get it for JC or a piece of jewelry or something.
Right.
But in terms of like marquee events,
right?
Valentine's Day, nothing, never.
Right, right.
Except for the one time early on, I got her when we were dating. I got her chocolate covered cherries, not realizing that her family were all candy snobs. I had no idea because I'm not from a candy loving family. Her dad is. Her dad has single handedly kept See's candy in business for decades.
Right, right.
He eats it by the fistful.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so that's what she grew up thinking was like bargain basement candy. That's really high end candy. You know?
I didn't know that.
That's like saying, oh well, I'll Mercedes, but nothing less than that in my driveway.
Right,
you know, it's like it's high end.
I mean, Ruth is that way too. That's why I'm so afraid.
Yeah, well, you should be,
especially when it comes to chocolate. The lady loves chocolate. I've tried.
Right,
to give
well, that's
her,
JC.
I tried to get her like a Lindt or one of those, and she's like, oh, is this from the grocery store?
Yeah, that's what you're picking up what I'm putting down. I gave JC, we were a brand new couple.
Yeah.
And not even like almost too early to make Valentine's romantic, but I wanted to acknowledge it because, you know, new girlfriend, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I got her.
You don't have to make an excuse. I mean, it's Valentine's Day. It's
Russell Stover.
Yeah.
Chocolate covered cherries.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a staple in the Spade house on that, like. We liked them, so I went and got them.
In Nashville, it's like shrimp at Red Lobster, man.
At Red Lobster, like popcorn shrimp. She looked at me like, she didn't say this, but you could tell her eyes were saying very loudly, is this some kind of fucked up, sick joke? She wasn't even pretending to me. One thing, JC does not have a pretend setting. Uh-huh. So if you give her something she doesn't like, you don't walk away going, I wonder if she liked that. It's not something you ever wonder. She doesn't have that sort of like, I'll just pretend. And when they're gone, I'll just re-gift it. She owns her distaste for whatever's happening.
right.
Or her affection for it. You know, just, you know where you stand.
Right.
And, but we were new, and I didn't necessarily understand that. And it's kind of like when you, with you and the chocolate egg with Ruth, you know, the sort of like, or she had this, sorry, Ruth has that story about an old boyfriend who didn't give her a chocolate egg. And she was like, and that was our last day together. You know, it was like, this dude messed up.
Yeah.
And,
So
when I gave her these chocolate covered cherries, which I absolutely love, and she hates, I love. Apparently, that's the low rent candy of, if you're a candy snob, the chocolate covered cherry is, you know, the
right. I mean, you think
ground
about it.
It's the catfish of seafood. Like, it's the bottom feeder.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm a man of simple means. I like catfish and I like chocolate
cherries.
Covered cherries. Not those stuff with the booze in it. The booze free one.
Right.
Anyway,
but it's in the same ilk. It's in the same.
It's
family.
The exact same. No. It's like either or. I'm not. They're a level playing field. Don't get me wrong. It's not one. It's just a preference for me.
It's not like you have the best bourbon in the world.
No. It's like I just don't like that flavor. I like the other flavor.
Sure.
Anyway, she literally was like, "Don't you ever, ever do that again? Give me nothing, but do not give me." Russell Stover chocolate covered cherries. And by the way, to the good people of Russell Stover's, I'm available for sponsorships. If you'd like to send me chocolate covered cherries, I'll be happy to advertise them here on this show. Rob will write a song.
Yeah.
But I won't be sharing them with my wife.
Yeah. And if I get my shit together, I'll write it and put it in right here.
Russell Stover's can have one or two. Russell Stover's, here's a box for you. Russell Stover's, are those cherries fresh? Russell Stover's, now your Valentine's list.
And I'll tell you, to this day, if we're having a great time and people are laughing, and I bring that up, her mood drops. She's like, that was a dark day. Was the day I questioned everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, we've been dating about 2 weeks. I'm not sure if that was preemptive to question everything.
So and then you went this direction. And I had the opposite sort of early in my relationship with Ruth. We all went from Rome.
Well, you have to say what Ruth's direction, because you just went zhump, and people who are listening to this, that means.
You went down, like, no more gift giving. And after that, that was it, right?
Pretty much. Well, it became clear that that wasn't her thing. Like, there were other things I could do to win her heart, but gift giving, she didn't. That was not her. That was not her love language, if you will.
Which, hey, is convenient. It's cheap. It's a great way to go.
if you happen to be lucky enough to be built like that. But on the other side of that, you get gifts fit for a king. And when JC buys me stuff, it's always a home run. She has never gotten me anything I didn't love. But we're not throwing gifts at each other. It's just not our thing.
Yeah.
Like, meaning birthdays come and go. We don't necessarily, and we'll talk to you like, hey, man, we're taking the kids or whatever. We're not doing, like, we don't always give for each other.
Yeah.
We will do it randomly throughout the year. She'll see a sweater she likes for me. She gets it.
Yeah.
But it's not like we save up for the big occasions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tricky
one. And I prefer it that way, by the way. Just FYI. I mean, it works well for my mindset.
Yes, totally. That's what, you know, you're a great couple. It works.
Right.
And yeah, and look, I mean, I was traditionally always into gift giving, gift receiving, not to the level that maybe Miss Connell is, but my previous relationship, my partner was not into any of that. And so, you know, there's a part of me that's like, oh, you know, I'm down, but it's an intensity with this one. Like, you know, literally for Valentine's Day, there was a bag of, and now she'll wrap anything, you know, she'll pick up a little like book of tarot cards and wrap that. You know what I mean?
Right.
There might
tarot
be
tarot cards. Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? There might be, but like a candle. You know what I mean? Maybe some candy she got at a convention. She'll wrap that. You know what I mean? So it's everything from that to then there are like three or four big gifts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Lady
100%.
Brings a bounty of gifts. That's tricky for me. Like, that's take some extra. Sometimes I like just a one banger. You know what I mean? Here's your gift, kind of thing. But one time we went to Rome.
Was I there?
Yeah, and everybody bought sweet scarves for their ladies, and I picked up something at the airport for her.
So, I was there for that.
Yeah. And she,
I got something for JC there.
Yeah. And what did I do? I did. I got her something at the
airport. You shat the bed.
I shat the bed.
I don't know what Italian for shat the bed. You know, chateau il letto.
I got her something at the airport. I think I got her. It wasn't like
a
Leaning Tower of Pisa.
It was a turd with glitter on it.
It was a turd with glitter on it.
Literally, I think you got a. You got a Coliseum porcelain thing filled with liquor.
It wasn't that bad, but I feel like it was a piece of clothing, like a scarf or something.
I thought it was a wallet. I think you got her. No, dude, you got her a wallet.
Yeah.
You got her a wallet. It was so lame, especially because we'd all already been out together shopping for the ladies. And I don't remember. I thought it was just us, but maybe there's some other dudes there. But we all got our ladies something, and you did not. You actively did not.
Right. I didn't. I've never been as into that. Like, you are that way. Billy's that way. Like, we're everywhere. You're like, oh, I'm going to get something for JC, or I'm going to get something for the kids. I always felt like the things I got for the kids wound up being trash. You know what I mean?
Well, dude, I mean, of course. That's why when I got something for the kids, it was very simple. It'd be like a pencil box.
Because you know it's going to be trash.
It was just the gesture. And sure. I didn't always get something for JC. If I didn't see something, but... Unfortunately for you, the two times I did get her stuff, Ruth was there or involved.
Yeah,
meaning
exactly.
That time she saw me get her a nice scarf, which JC still wears to this day.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, I made up for it. Last time I got her, I've gotten her scarf every year since.
But don't you remember we were all in Paris together and I got JC a necklace as Ruth was helping me figure out which one to get? And meanwhile, you're over getting fucking chocolates for yourself at the chocolate store, and like he came back up with like a chocolate in your mouth, finishing the last one. Not even what did I miss? Richard found a lovely necklace for JC.
Yeah, no, I got to be on the clock. I can't snooze on the job.
Not anymore. Yeah, now you've fathered a child of the woman. You got to be on your P's and Q's.
Well, so this year I said she kind of put the suggestion out. I could tell as soon as she said it, she wasn't sure if this is what she wanted, but she suggested maybe for her birthday, I put together her little home office. So what was the pre-Fartoon South when I was in the sort of corner of that room in there where I've been for the last 6 months. That's now going to be her little home office. So I might decorate that for her, like buy
Wait,
her.
Where is it?
Where I've been, you know, pre.
Oh, the in between. That room with the TV in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be, so talking about wallpapering one of the walls, buying her new desk, you know, really
whatever
getting her
you
set
spent
up.
On the building a new structure will pale in comparison to what you're going to need to do to that room to make it classy enough to be Ruth's office.
I know. It literally will need like golden steps.
It's going to have something extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, I believe you're going to need to import a lot of the stuff from Scotland. To give it a feel of the homeland.
Maybe even a dude with bagpipes.
Oof. Yeah, man.
It's going to be loud, but like I feel like it's worth it.
It makes sense. Babies will love that.
Oh, yeah. Babies are going to. All the babies?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming there's other baby friends coming over to hang out with you.
Sure, man. All the time. Margaret is like party animal.
Maggie Viv.
So let me give you a tour.
All right, so this is the first time any of us have ever seen it.
Now, let me say, in person, it looks a lot more impressive than it's going to on this camera. I did a test, and it just doesn't look the same. It looks kind of tiny. But anyway, whatever. I'm very proud of it. I think in person you're going to love it. But here we go, Fartoon Studios. So... we've got, now, it's weird. Is this map, does it look like there's colors on it?
It does now.
Yeah, there's not.
It didn't yesterday. It looks black and white yesterday.
It is black and white. I don't know how it's doing that. It's completely black and white. Anyway, so we have on the far side of the room, that's a map of Los Angeles. And so...
And was that wallpaper?
It's wallpaper.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I saw that yesterday. That was neat. Yeah. An aerial map, I assume. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we live about right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where'd you find that?
At a wallpaper place. I wallpapered the Margaret's room, one of the walls in Margaret's room, and I went back to this place. It's a great online. You can just like tons and tons and tons of designs to choose from, and it's peel and stick, you know.
Did you put it on yourself? That always putting on wallpaper makes me nervous.
Yeah, I did. I did, believe it or not. Shakes. I did it.
And it lined up fine. Like, how many panels is that?
About five.
Oof.
Yeah. No, it was tricky because it's a map, so I needed all the roads to line up. So it was super tricky. And also this is a slanted ceiling. It's a slanted ceiling.
Yeah. So. Oh, my God. That's tough.
Yeah, so you. It was tough. But what's really weird is it looks like pink and green in the middle, and that's not there. That's just like the camera. Anyway,
that's not the pink and green corridor of Los Angeles that we're always talking about.
No. So this couch pulls out into a day bed.
Is that a new couch or
New couch.
New couch. Good, because I mean, what, single Rob that couch. No, thank you. You know what I mean?
No.
That's
no.
Nice. That's
a brand new couch. It looks nice. It's orange, which you know, a little color. Brand new coffee table.
Where'd you get that coffee table?
Wayfair online, cheap furniture online. I put this all together myself.
Is there carpeting?
There's a rug.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's a rug.
Is that also it's a pattern of some kind?
Yeah, it's like a what they call an oriental rug, which you can still say when it's a rug.
Okay, cool.
But not people. I always have to remind my mom. Not anymore. Back in the day. Did you ever have to do that?
Yeah, back in the day, like the future? Yeah, of course I still have to tell my father-in-law that he's
Asian.
There's a lot of things that he says. You're like, nope, can't say that.
No. Anyway, but
that's also, that's not how we get the waitress's attention. No, sir. Nope.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to, I'll just let you fill that one in with your mind.
Oh, man. anyway, it is an oriental rug. And then over here, I have a new bookshelf I put together that has Christmas lights on it. And again, you can't really, there you go. There's a little better.
Oh, they're pink and green, too. That's nice.
No, they're just white, but, you know, a bookshelf. And then right here you see my acoustic guitar.
Nice.
Yeah, and then...
You know, there's a TV in the room, right?
Now, right here, I can't show you because it's on the other side of the computer.
But it's a 65-inch Samsung QLED television.
Yes, and I know this because I asked Rich what TV to get, and he told me.
Yes, the IT nerd.
And he told me, and I divided that by three and bought one that price instead.
No, the that was the second one I recommended. That was the Samsung.
Yeah. The first one was a bit pricey for the man cave, you know what I mean?
100%. I agree. And that Samsung has been our go-to TV for everything.
But it's this is great. It's great for this area, and the kids will be spending a lot of time out here, but the kids can
see. Oh my gosh, you're going to be able to watch movies out there. I mean, that's going to be such a great place.
It's
going to
be great.
Do you have a sound bar for the TV?
I don't yet. I'm going to see how it sounds. I do have a Sonos speaker on the way for my music.
When you get the sound bar, do you think... I've never mounted a sound bar. Do you think you'll mount it over or under the TV?
Under. I've got one in the house. But we'll see.
That'll
be cool. We'll see if I need that. I don't know yet.
What kind of Sonos speaker are you doing?
The smallest kind, because it's really the sound in here. I've been playing this, and it's been enough. This little JBL.
You've got the place wired for internet.
Yes, yes. Your guy came over and wired it for internet, so it's got great internet speed. Hey, but I was going to tell you, two of the big things, not big things, but I installed these curtains, so they're blackout curtains for watching the films.
Watch a movie, yeah.
But the big thing I wanted you to see was... So I got the fridge you told me to get. I got the Marshall amp looking, but it's actually a fridge. It was too big for the space. It just was too big. It's not that space. It just, it's tight. It's a bit, you know,
right.
12 by 8. Anyway, but I got this.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
And he's holding up a very small fridge with a handle on the top.
A fridge, and it lights up, and it holds, you know, like, 30 cans of beer. We're good.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of beer. Yeah, that's fine.
It's a lot of beer. Anyway, and you know, right outside is, and he built me a little like deck in the front of the shed. A little like deck.
That's awesome. Has it rained yet with that shed?
Yeah, a few times.
Held up great?
Yes. Great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so. I see you have a nice runner window up there. Is that window open? I see it might slide open.
It does.
The far left there. You got a mini split cooling unit?
Oh, yes. You see that there? Yeah. Mini split, which we said yesterday in our Patreon, when we addressed our Patreon friends, that I never knew what a mini split was until Chris Harrison, the architect of this unit, who is also a friend of Richard's and does work for Rich, told me about mini split. He kept saying mini split, mini split, mini split, and I kept leaving. And then I realized that he was talking about
split.
An air conditioned unit that, like this, that goes in my wall, like this, that box up there, and then the other side of it is down there.
Is the condenser unit
right now? What makes it a mini? Why do you call it a mini split?
Well, it's split into two pieces. It's not a window air conditioner. That's one giant unit. You know those wall units that are the condenser and cooling. You know the vent part and the condenser part are all one big part. A mini split is split into two, so that you have that part that's in your home that everybody sees, and then outside separately, run down a series of pipes is the condenser unit. You see those all over Europe. They're great for small spaces, or great for spacing. The condenser units are very narrow and wall mountable. We put one up in the Joseph house in the living room just because you need another heat source in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
it's a heating. And cooling this is
just cooling here, but Chris, who's like my new favorite person.
Yeah, it's great.
He left me his little space heater, which I've got on right now because it's a bit chilly in the mornings here in LA.
Just dumb question. I think everything you've done is a home run, so this is literally just a question. But why didn't you do a heating and cooling mini split?
For some reason, first of all, I'm not sure this isn't, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Well, your remote control will tell you because your remote control either in your mode, it'll either go to heat or it won't.
I gotta find it.
Rob's finding the remote control to the mini split.
Mode.
Is it a Mitsubishi? What are you looking at?
Daikin.
Daikin, okay.
Fan. This is a picture of a sun.
Yeah, that's the heat.
Huh. All right.
So, turn on the heat and just see if it
I can't. It's not powered up yet.
Oh, the whole thing's not powered up.
Chris has to come back and power up the other side of it.
Well, dude, I think if you did that, then you're going to be glad. Because I tell you, I have a mini split in the room I'm in right now.
Huh.
And I turned the heat on before I came in here just for a couple minutes. You end up using it a lot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he gave me this little thing that does a great job, like a little space heater. Does a great job. We should have him on the podcast. He's such a good guy, and
I know.
Just so look, really, like he does. He's the kind of guy that does the work for you, like he cares, like he gives a shit.
He also does the work, meaning like he's not just barking orders; like he's actually doing stuff. And I know Chris. Chris is a friend of ours. Chris and his wife Bridget, their daughter Rita, is great friends with Steve, and they went to grammar school together.
They're looking at schools right now. They're away this week looking at schools. A little Chris Harrison update. But my
anybody who's friends with Chris wondered where he was. He's off looking at schools.
He's just looking at schools for his daughter. But he's funny. I love the way he talks, and you won't know this unless you know Chris, which is just me and you. You think I'm going to need a mini split? He pauses. He goes, okay. Here's the thing, you know, and he'll, and then he'll gives you, three options. On one hand, you know, you got this and this, but you might do this. Like, I love the way he speaks.
I know. He's so Oregonian.
Yes. He's so Oregonian.
And I know it makes no sense to anybody who doesn't know Oregon people, but since I'm married to an Oregonian and spend a lot of time with Oregonians, he's very Oregonian.
Yeah. Here's an unrelated question for you. There's no bathroom here. We've established that. I was thinking about doing one of those sort of outdoor shower things like you've got.
Ah, greatest thing I ever did.
Okay. I was going to ask about that.
But where's your water source?
Well, the pool has a water source, right?
Yeah.
Can I just took a detour off that pipe and
I don't know. That would be a Chris question. Chris can do all that, but Chris did it for me. Question is, if it's a water source for your pool, usually the pool water is heated by a pool heater, not so it might just be cold water that comes you, and you would probably want warm and cold.
So you might have to put in a sort of a little water heater.
You might be or running it from a different water pipe. Your main is and
right. Okay. Anyway, I thought that might then I could feasibly have someone stay out here as a guest house.
We did that. Like I believe in it. Like we put an outdoor shower in our yard, just like it'll rinse off from the pool thing, which is also wouldn't be so bad for your pool.
That's really what it would be for.
And then the other thing is, when Chris built that back room, I had him put a outdoor shower right there, which gets very little use right now. But if we ever, you know, theoretically it could get used, you know, Fletcher is using it a little bit, but it's very private and protected and it's a cool shower.
Yeah. No, I'd like to I'd like to. I'll ask him about it. And you know, for those of you that think that Rich and I are just constantly sort of building onto our houses, living in Los Angeles, it's tricky because the land is tricky, and so we're trying to make the best living space with a small, area
growing families.
Yeah, I mean, like I've got a garage that just only fits my car. It was built probably in the 20s or 30s for one of those little cars, and it just barely fits my car to the point where I have to drop Audrey off outside the garage. Anybody who's riding in the car has to get out, except for Margaret. She can make it in. Anybody else can't get out of the car if I'm in the garage. So, you know, that kind of thing you'd struggle with.
I know. We live in a crazy world with crazy people.
Crazy people. No, we're very, very lucky. I'm just saying it's also a bit of a math piece to try to.
It's a little Jenga game trying to get it all together.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But JC always accuses me of overdoing. I don't think I ever do, but I'll always run water. Like when I called you, I was like, run internet. Like I'm the guy who's like, I want, when walls are open.
Yeah.
I move the systems. Like get water line out here, poke a gas line out the wall. You know, did that. Right. Joseph, we were working on the house. Like when they're under the house, I'm like poke a gas line out here. If I ever want to attach a grill, I've got a gas line.
That's a brilliant idea. It's a great idea. And I used to have that a couple of houses ago. They had already built it, but I had a barbecue with a built-in gas line. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, where's your grill now?
I just bought a grill at Home Depot. And it's,
right. But like, where is it? Right
down this, on that.
Patio. Think about it. You could put it on the back side of that, on the flat side of that shed now, if you wanted it to, up by the pool.
Yeah.
You might not want to, but if you wanted to clear off room from that patio, you could roll that thing up there.
Right, right. I mean, honestly, what I'd rather do is like eventually like build some kind of built-in with a gas line. Right. That'd be awesome. That's an okay place for it because there's a table right next to it.
Yeah, it's cool. No, 100%.
But I like to imagine that this is my new office. You know what I mean? If I take a meeting.
That's cool. It's great. I mean, it's great. And also the length of it, like you're zooming right now, you got a lot of depth of field behind you. Like, a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. And it's good for, it's the best, it's better than Fartoon's main for sound.
And for light, you got good natural light there that's not hitting
The I have baffles that I had at my original Fartoons that I put them.
Oh, yeah. So it's really good for sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Do that same thing in the garage by just having it stacked with crap.
No, that's great. A lot of I've been looking at a lot of sites that they're like, what you want to do is I had written down last night a couple of things I want to talk about. I know we're coming towards the end of our podcast, but I wanted to read your the text. You left me a message last night. You called and left me a message. And you know how your phone does a transcription?
Yes,
so I didn't listen to your message, but I read the transcription.
Okay, let's hear it.
Which says, "That sounds like a fake. That sounds like a fake outgoing message. It's Richard and Frank, and we are just returning to the movies where we watched Kung Fu Number 4, and we thought it was very good. Enjoyed it tremendously. Anyway, yeah, we can probably squeeze in a thing tomorrow. The earlier, the better. That's my motto. So text me or call me and let me know how early you're going, baby. So you might be before I can do 5:45, 6:45, 7:45. If you're up, do you know? June, early morning, dad crap. We can do an early podcast for the people to hear your voice, too. They deserve it. Hi. And then, hi, this is Richard saying goodbye and goodbye.
Okay.
Is that pretty accurate?
It's accurate. I was pitching that we do this podcast in June at 5:45, and you've rushed it up to March. That's weird. That's a funny message.
Really? In June, you did pitch that?
No, I'm kidding. Oh, I love those whole talk to text things.
I know. It's really funny.
Laugh.
Yeah.
They do indeed.
Yeah. And then last night, this is our text exchange. Yesterday, this is our text. This is our text exchange yesterday. That's always pretty great, but Yesterday we did the Monday morning mop up for Patreon. So, you know, you said, I'm on a call with a guy doing construction in Joseph. When I'm done, I'll text you. I said, yeah, you will. You said, let's do it. I send you the Zoom. I say, I'm up. I'm in. Let's go. Beep, beep. And then you said, I'm in. Okay. And then 3:38 p.m., you said, call you in 5. 3:38 p.m. At 8:48 p.m., no call. I say, that was the longest 5 in the history of 5s. And then I asked if we wanted to do a podcast tomorrow morning, and you just wrote back, high five. That's it. I mean, there's no, that was it. That's being friends with Rich Pate. Call you in 5. Crickets.
Yeah, dude.
For about 6 hours. High five.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how people with children get anything done. Because I get nothing done, even though I'm busy out of my mind.
Yeah,
and the boys are on spring break, and it's none. And they're not even infants. They're not children. They're not little boys. But it is just parenting.
I know.
I don't know.
I know.
I live in constant confusion on how do you have a great relationship with your children and be incredibly successful? I don't know. They seem counterintuitive.
I know. I totally agree. And now I've added on another component. Still doing it. It's a constant, puzzle. How am I going to pull this off? And I swear until Audrey drives too, it's a lot. Audrey's not driving. So I'm still,
she's not driving yet.
Mm-mm. Calvin's home now, which is good. So he got an automatic.
He's
driving.
Already done for the summer. No,
spring break.
Yeah. Sorry. Duh.
Yeah. He's home for a week. And then
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then she's going back with him to Chicago for a week for her spring break.
Oh, because she wants to visit the school?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
She's visiting that school, and I set her up on a tour of Loyola in Chicago. She's not interested in Northwestern. I think because she just really wants to do her own thing. She doesn't want... That's very Audrey, you know what I mean?
Right.
She wants to pave her own path, and I get that. I respect that. So, yeah, that's that. Yeah.
I think Steve might be running into Hank's oldest daughter over spring break
because
he's going to go up to Washington to tour.
Yeah, keeping it in-house.
Yeah.
Is that happening? Are they going to hook up?
Yeah, I got to get the info from Hank. I was going to bug her to see if she'd grab coffee with Steve. And
great. Yeah, that'd be sweet. And who's he going up there with?
JC. Because they're going to go to U of O, which is her alma mater.
Oh, fun.
And then, it's going to be great, man. Really, really fun for them, man. It's going to be fun mother-son
experience. Great. I love the idea of the kids going to school up there. I mean, I would love if Audrey could look at some of those schools. I like the Pacific Northwest.
Me too. I mean, I'm a massive, I love it. I go up there all the time.
Yeah.
And Vancouver. I mean, it's all kind of the same.
Pacific Northwest, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way. Hey, do you have a Final Four bracket? Are you doing that again? Are you doing your whole Final Four thing?
Weirdly, I'm not. But weirdly, Steve, who has never expressed interest in college basketball, has a Final Four bracket.
It's fun. I mean, it's funny because I don't know anything. I
100%. I love college basketball. It's not an award show snub. Actually do.
But we will have a Final Four wrap-up in a few weeks.
Yeah, we will. That'll be fun for everybody. I think any team that I was associated with is
out.
I think Steve's got Purdue as still left.
And UConn. I mean, I have a few. I'm doing it with my buddies, with Hank and Paul and all of them. Paul's in first place. Paul's on fire.
Paul's in first place in life.
It's Paul's year. Yeah. Paul's rocking. He's playing the president on a Netflix show. He's winning the
That's what I'm saying. Final Paul's
four.
Just...
Yeah, no. Well, he lets me know about it. He lets me know about it.
Oh, he should. You need to be aware.
Yeah. He's sending me pictures of him as president.
Does he really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. The president says... I mean, I think he wants to be... I think it's one of those things. Remember how Martin Sheen played the president? And then it's almost as if Martin Sheen, when he would make public appearances as himself, he almost... kind of thought he was president a little bit. You know what I mean? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I feel like that's going to be Paul. Like, Paul's not quite sure if he's president or not. He might actually maybe be president of the United States right now, but he's not.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a blurry line.
He, and I got to tell you something. He's very electable, Paul.
Oh, man. I mean, that's his MO. That's always been Paul's. If he hadn't been an actor, he would have gone into politics. And so he's always been super into politics. He's
right.
Like, he's on, you know, on boards, and, you know, he volunteers at the prison. Like, he's very community civic oriented,
civically minded, as we say.
Yeah. And like, and civic so, minded. And he made, like, he made a movie that got into Sundance 20 years ago. And the movie is all about a politician and someone in prison and, you know, their relationship. It just, yeah, it's just that's so, and so he, some of his biggest roles have been politicians. I mean, he was in that miniseries about, you know, with the founding father, what's his name?
Oh, he was in John Adams.
Yeah.
And, well, he's a senator from Virginia.
Virginia,
right?
I mean, exactly.
That's,
I mean, that's
for him.
Exactly. He was in Veep. He ran against Veep in Veep.
Yeah.
So that's,
he just,
yeah,
has that vibe, man. He just, yeah, he has that stoic, yeah, congressional.
Well, and the fact that he's playing, he's also playing vibe. he's playing a gay president. It's just like perfect for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really awesome.
Written for him. Anyway, so, well, that's it. That's all I've got. I think
that's it. Listen, this has been a solid,
very solid,
I mean, a flipping long one for us.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
what
it's
mean?
Been
almost
a solid.
Hour. So
yeah,
everybody, you know, you can get out of the car now.
Exactly.
Your work here is done.
Yeah.
Another great podcast generated by the good people at Fartoon South.
Thank
and
you.
My garage.
Yeah.
I've never really had a name for my studio.
Oh yeah, we got to name your studio. How
that's
about,
that's next on the docket. Next, okay, on the docket is name.
How about,
well, I move around the house, though, so it's,
yeah,
you know.
But in, when you're in this location, you know, maybe
Dick Jr.'s Mobile Crap Shack or something, I don't know.
I like Dick Jr.'s Mobile Crap Shack. I was going to say 5'8" studios, because you have got that measuring stick behind you, and you're 5'8".
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do. I have, on my album, the Dick Jr. album, the credit, it's Clear Lake Studios and Master Bath Studios, because we've recorded so much of the vocals in my,
oh,
in
Master
my
Bath, that's
closet.
Funny, that's funny. And Clear Lake, which one's that? Oh, that's for, yeah, where is that, where you recorded the other album?
No, this was not that place.
Okay,
that was a place in like Burbank,
right,
Burbank Boulevard,
right,
this
right,
was
right.
North Hollywood. You really got to know where it is, man. It's one of those things,
like,
where I drove past it four or five times, and like, it's this narrow little driveway, and you pull in. I'm sure you've recorded there, because you seem to have recorded everywhere, but it's like, you know, it's very unassuming. It's,
yeah,
like this, you know, that North Hollywood area of like where Camarillo and Vineland and Lancashire, that kind of,
yes,
chaos,
yeah,
area.
There's another
Champs-Élysées of the North Hollywood area.
Yes, exactly, if you will. Yeah, there's a rehearsal studios there called Amp.
Yeah, it's probably somewhere around there, but it's not, yeah, Amp. I know Amp is on Lancashire.
Lancashire, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's not Amp, but it's not that far from that chaotic sort of,
yeah,
area. And I think it's further north. Anyway, there.
Cool.
Where we did the fundamental stuff.
Very cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
Rob and I will be back on Monday for another MMM. In the meantime, stay well, be kind, be cozy, be quiet, be Arthur.
Hey, Arthur.
And we'll talk to you later on.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. It's a king's car.